Blog Talk Radio.
The Four Persons, Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. You are listening to The Four Persons Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your enthusiastic and faithful Catholic apostolate. For more information about what we do, go to our show page at thefourpersons.com and our blog site at thefourpersons.net. To call in tonight with your comment or question, dial 515-602-9655. The number, again, is 515-602-9655. You don't know me, but I'm your brother. I was raised here in this living hell. You don't know my kind in your world. Very soon, the time will tell. You telling me the truth.
And a blessed All Souls Day, a blessed Thursday to all of you. And we're back here on the Four Persons. And as usual, as we usually do on a Thursday, we're taken to the streets with Terry Delp. Terry, you got a big show lined up for us tonight. Take it away.
Yes, sir. Let me get started with a brief prayer in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, my Jesus, forgive us of our sins, save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yeah,
Amen.
I wanted to do an update on what was going on in some of our fellow apostolates and their prison ministry. I believe Larry, they went on a visit to one of the prisons in Texas, and he has a brother named Tony, and of course we got Deacon Denny. So let's get started with Deacon Denny. If you could just give us an update on what's going on with the Kobe House and the Kobe Village, and if I understand correctly, you got a new brother that was released into there. So if you could, Deacon Denny, take it away.
Well, good evening, everyone. That's good to be here. Yeah, we got a lot of exciting stuff happening with our the prison ministry, with the Kobe House and with the Brother St. Dismas retreat program. We've got a big retreat scheduled for the WIN unit, December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And it'll be one of our mega retreats. We'll be taking 120 brothers in white on retreat, plus we'll have 30 brothers in white as volunteers and waiters, plus 30, we'll have 30 volunteers as well coming in to minister to men. So that'll be a big event. We're really looking forward to it. We're doing a lot of planning for it. We're going to use a lot of technology and screens and stuff, so it'll be a big to-do. So pray for us that everything will be successful. I know it will be because God's on our side. So, or I should say we're on
his
side.
Will y'all be recording any of that?
We're going to try to. They've allowed us to. Well, we're going to try to get. We now have the Kobe House went out and we purchased a video studio, which includes a video camera, stand, lights, remote microphones and everything. So we have the ability to record things on SD chips and such. And we'll attempt to do that. We got it on the list of inventory, on an inventory list going in. We'll see if the warden will approve it. But right now, we would love to do it. It's just getting the approval of the warden to do it.
Deacon, can I ask you, when is this event scheduled?
It's just on the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of December 1st through the 3rd. So it'll be coming up a month.
If you want to try to, since we got enough advance notice, you want to schedule a show, if we could do a special show, they could call in live from the event. What do you think?
Well, I believe they'll be out of there by the time. I mean, they wouldn't be able to call in from inside the prison, but they could call in with an update afterwards. Yeah.
All right, we'll set that up.
Yeah. Yeah, the bringing in cell phones and communication devices, that's forbidden inside the prison. But we can do it once we get out. You're right. We could do that. That'd be great. Give you kind of a on the scene live update, you know, when we get to the gate and get outside, we can surely do that. So, but there's that, and then so that's the Brother St. Dismas, and what we have there at the WIN unit has really been a flagship for the Brother St. Dismas program. We have about 170 brothers in white that are officially inducted into the Brotherhood of the Brothers of St. Dismas. And they meet monthly, and they have a program. They support each other with, they have songs. They have a brief formation, a lesson taught. And then we finish every meeting. We finish with adoration of Blessed Sacrament. We expose the Blessed Sacrament, and we have 30 minutes of of adoration, which is real powerful for the men. They really are serious about that and really get a lot out of it. So that's the retreat program going right now. And we, you know, that's why we're taking so many on retreat, because it's a big community of Catholics up there. The second thing is going to the Colby House. All kinds of things have been going on there. We've had we've recently, several months ago, we mentioned that we've got the Colby Village. And in the Colby Village, we have the first house. It's a two-bedroom mobile home that's called the St. Paul House. And it has our first guy moved in, Ryan West. He moved in about a week ago, and he's settling in, and he's loving his freedom, and he's just so thankful to be there. But he's a fellow that wants to build, his dream is to have an ecclesial community of the Brothers of St. Dismas right there at the Colby Village, and have a monastic community, at least part of the, this is a 10-acre property. So in the back, we will have a monastery with guys living in ecclesial community with their charism, their ministry will be to reach out to go inside prisons and minister to the Catholics there. But then once they get out, to support their reintegration efforts through a faith-based initiative, if they're not coming to the Colby Village, they'll support them remotely through correspondence and sending them all kinds of things, and be able to help them on the way to successful reintegration into society. So the goal has been and always will be to build men and help them reintegrate in society as not only as strong Catholics, but as strong men of faith and strong men of service. So those are basically the – and we do that through basically a threefold process. First, they need to find a church. Then they need to find a strong connection to that church. And then the third is through our communities, our houses. And so far we have the Colby House, the Dismas House, the St. Anthony House, and now we've got the St. Paul House in Colby Village. So there are four places now that are all faith-based communities that we're helping men get their feet back under them and grow in the faith and reintegrate to be successful faithful and successful on the outside. As far as so honing in and focusing in on what's been going on at the Colby House, we've been doing all kinds of things. We did a homeless outreach program, which has been hugely, hugely successful. We do it every month. We have four Catholic churches supporting us. Plus, we have a Protestant ministry that's kind of a social ministry called Psy Hope, and they give us lots of food for donation and clothing as well. So we gather, we typically give out about 300 to 350 care packages, which are all pop top type foods in a grocery bag. Then we give out about four or 500. Individual items that if they have a low income housing or something like that, it's where they can basically shop and stretch their food dollar, and they just help themselves to what's there. But then we also give out 1,000 pounds on average, giving out about 1,000 pounds of donated clothing. And now we're moving into the Clean the Closet projects at two churches, where we just say, hey, anything you got in your closet that you want to get rid of that's in pretty good shape, we'll take it, and we put it in bins. We put the bins out and let them rifle through there, find what'll fit them, or they can take stuff for their family, for their children, take them for whatever. But the clothing is, all that stuff is theirs. It's not ours. And we've been very successful. We go down there with, they're about 40-pound containers. We'll take upwards of 50 to 60 of them down there, and we'll come back with four. I mean, the food, the clothing goes, as well as does all the food. Food is always gone. So we start every month from scratch with a bare food bank, empty, and we go out and we beg for the food, and the food comes in. And then the men assemble the care packages, and they help with the distribution. But recently, this month, we coupled or partnered with a family ministry. It's called Regnum Christi. It's one of the apostolates of the of Legionnaires of Christ. And it's a family ministry, and their job is outreach as well. And they came in, and they basically helped with the distribution. But then they did something that was really neat. They have high school kids there as well as their parents. Then they went around one by one, introducing themselves to the homeless and just asking if they could pray for them. And so during the time that we were down there Saturday morning, they were going and praying for people, praying for the kids, praying for the health, praying for whatever their intention was. And it was a beautiful thing to see. One guy came up to me that had been prayed over, and he says, this whole thing gives me so much hope. Gives me so much hope that that it looks like I still matter to somebody. Someone still cares about me. And especially the young people, they care about me. And he said that it's just a tremendous hope for me, but it's also a tremendous hope for the future of the church, that there are young people that are willing to practice the faith and think about others, pray for others. It was a beautiful thing. And then throughout the ministry during that time, they prayed the rosary twice, and they gather anybody and everybody who wants to pray homeless and the ministers and get them together, and they lead the rosary. We give out rope rosaries, that were made by the parishioners. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to see it. If you want to see it, go to KobeHouseTX.com, and you'll see under the events portion, you'll see some of the videos and some of the pictures from that effort. Other things that are going on, I may have talked about this already, but in September we did the Colby House supported the Walk for Life, which is an annual event, or it's a fundraiser where we raise money, and it's a whole diocesan wide where we raise money for these mobile pro-life crisis pregnancy clinics. And those things have been, they've been saving lives right and left, like in the 10,000 plus range of babies have been saved, because pregnant women will come in there and they get to see their baby on a sonogram, and there's pro-life counseling and pro-life financial and emotional support, and medical support. So we did it, and we ran a branch. Normally go downtown to the All Saints Parish, and that's where the main walk takes place. But we decided we're going to run it out of St. Maximin Colby on the northwest side. We'll do our own thing. We raised over $65,000 to help with that. But the Colby House helped with setting up tents. We bring our own tents, canopies, and then we brought our own coffee service. So everyone had coffee, and then we made all the shirts. The Colby House donated.
Just for those that are listening and don't know, I just wanted to put this out there. When he says the Colby House, the Colby Village, that they are doing this, these are ex-convicts, most who have been were locked up for 10, 20 plus years, and they are out there ministering and doing the things that Deacon Denny is talking about. Go ahead, Deacon. I just want to make sure everybody understood that these are Catholic men who were convicts and are out there doing all the stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's really been and actually the whole homeless outreach program was their idea. It wasn't my idea. It was their idea. It was the men's idea. They asked, how can we give back? How can we give back to society? And this is what they came up with. And it started, we just went down there with 100 bags. About 2 years ago, went down with about 100 bags of groceries and handed those out, and they were gone in 5 minutes. And then we looked at each other as, we got to do more. And so it's morphed into this. We hauled two great big trailers full of stuff down there. One is an enclosed trailer, one's a great big tandem axle flatbed with all these containers on it. We just hand it out as fast as we can, and it's a great thing. But the whole idea there is that people learn their faith, and one of the big things about our faith is taking care of the brothers and sisters in need. And that's a great big thing. Jesus said that you're not getting into heaven unless you do that. And these guys have switched on to that, and they said that that's one way they can give back, but also Jesus never said that I was hungry, or Jesus never said feed the hungry. He said I was hungry, I was thirsty, and he gave me drinks. So
amen.
We're We feed hungry. We feed Jesuses all over the place there. Face of Jesus all over.
Amen. And one of the things I like to do with this particular apostolate that I have here is bring Catholic ministries together. And, you know, that way we can start networking throughout the United States because too many of us try to do it on our own. And I got Larry and Tony on. If you could bring Larry on and let him introduce Tony, because they're doing the same stuff, just in a different diocese. And I'm going to try to get the Brothers of St. Dismas moving in Ohio. And, you know, as long as Dick and Denny, you say it all the time, you never walk alone. And that's one of the things that I want to do is try to network and bring everybody together so that, you know, we can help one another in the areas where we might need help. Larry, are you on there? John?
Larry is unmuted.
Okay.
Am I on?
Okay. There you go, brother. There you go.
I can never tell. Mute. Unmuted. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Terry, for having me on. So we're doing a little bit different than what Dick and Danny's doing. And so what we do, we light the fire inside the prisons and spread the word of God to them while they're being incarcerated. And so, yes, when they get out on parole or off paper, whatever, a lot of them don't have a place to go. And so what Dick and Danny's doing, and Terry, you too, just a great service for these inmates that are getting out. And so that, having said that, I did want to bring out Brother Tony here that is also involved in some of the areas of halfway houses there in Houston. And I think Dick and Danny, I think you know him. I think you guys met some time ago. So with that, I'll just turn it over to Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Tony Vanderber. I'm with Christian New Creation. We're a 501c3 public charity here in Texas, and we were formed in 2002. We were formed to meet a definite need for a highly structured Christian faith, Catholic faith, based on the nonprofit Transitional Living Facility, dedicating rebuilding the lives of Christian men here in Texas. Part of our programs, what we call our secret sauce, is recovery from incarceration. We have to do a great reset and help the men, as they come out of prison, get back in the marketplace, as St. Benedict would say. And how we do that is we have reentry assistance. We get them their driver's license, ID cards. We open up bank accounts for them. Eventually, we get them their driver's licenses and get them going. We have one-on-one mentoring programs for them. We have on-site AA and NA meetings. We have Bible study on-site once a week. One of the big key factors is once we get them settled down, we always talk about the first thing for them is they've got to get right with God. And what I've done is I believe that as Catholics, we need, just like Jesus did, we need to open the tent up and bring them into the tent. They need to understand what the original church was about, what the original church, what Jesus taught. It's so important because everybody has such bad thoughts of the word Catholic, but Catholic means universal. And that's what we're about. We bring them in so they get a taste of what the original church was about. And part of that is family reunification. Our big focus is helping them get family reunification. And how do we get family reunification? We've got to get the guys the jobs. We've got to get them working so they earn something so they can get this family reunification going. So they don't have to worry about transportation. We provide the transportation. We pick them up from the prison. We bring them to parole. We get them their jobs, get them to the bank, help them do grocery shopping. And one of the opportunities then is that they get back to the community. We have them do projects in the community with churches. We've had now 12 men that have gone through our program here that actually go back into prisons on Colby Ministries. And that's the retreat programs that we're really big with. I've done 18 retreats into the prisons over the last 6 years. I'll be going on one here on the 15th to the 18th at the Estelle Unit with St. Marcus Catholic Church here in Houston. And that's it's a big impact. For us, we've had 1,800 men go through our program since 2007. And in 2022, our recidivism rate was 2.1% compared to 27% for Texas Department of Criminal Justice. We served 182 men last year. We have 25 volunteers that logged over 10,000 hours in our organization. So our bottom line is that we really want to be part of the substantial rehabilitation for human dignity. We got to give them hope and grace. We got to give them a way to know that there's somebody out there that cares about them, that can make things happen. Part of our mandatory requirements is that they have to attend a weekly church. If they're Catholic, we take them up to St. Martha's, Prince of Peace. I always laugh and say, you know, Protestant means protester in German, but I say we take the rest of them over if they're Protestants to First Baptist here in Houston. They attend two weekly meetings of AA, all in-house scheduled meetings, which includes our Bible study on Wednesday nights, ran by St. Martha's, obey all state and federal laws. That means they don't do drugs. They don't do alcohol. They follow all parole stipulations, schedules, and requirements. They participate in Steps for Freedom program, which means to get them back to where they need to be. And we help them stay continuously employed while they're a resident. And that's important because a lot of times, as we have found out, they never did work. They never did have a job, so the best thing they ever did was either be with their baby mama, be with their parents, or they sold dope. And that's not what we want to do. And I think bringing the family reunification is the core to everything that we need to do. Many of our residents have been alienated themselves from their family members. And for those who wish to reconcile with family, their mentor, a lot of them we have from Prince of Peace and St. Martha's, assist them in contacting the member's family. And sometimes it doesn't go very well. And then we seek approval to get them back together. One of the things that I've done with the Colby Ministries has been awesome is when we go into the prisons, they don't even know that I did time in prison. I did 3 years in TDCJ and completed 7 years of parole. And I'm the executive director for this organization. And when I go in and talk about you can do anything if you put your mind to it, they realize, holy smokes, after I give my talk, the very last paragraph I talk about being in prison. Because that's the least important thing that I have. It's everything else that I'm working towards. My wife and I live here on site with the men, and we cater to the men. We help them. We teach them respect and how to build a strong family relationship that will make their process of transition less stressful.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
I'm trying not to talk too much. I can blab forever, so I'm being good today.
No, that's fine. Larry, didn't y'all just recently go inside one of the prisons?
We did. As a matter of fact, we did back-to-back. First of October, we went to the Robertson unit in Abilene. And last week, the Wallace unit in Colorado City, Texas. Next week, we're going to the Smith unit, which is in La Mesa, Texas. And as I indicated before, what we do in the 15 dioceses in the state of Texas, where we mission out to those areas that don't have ACTS retreats in their parishes. In other words, they don't have volunteers to come in there to do these retreats. So that's what we do in the Diocese of San Angelo and Lubbock. They're in need of volunteers. So what we do, again, is go in there and much like St. Dismas, we go in there and to teach the fullness of the Catholic Church. And, of course, we have Mass confession. We teach them about the rosary. And so we start the fire, and we're also there to help them learn more about the Catholic Church, especially those that don't know their faith or those that are falling away Catholics or even those that are Protestant. We have a lot of men that come in there, Muslims, even atheists, are Protestants. So that's part of what we do. And so our job is to teach them the teaching of the church. And when they get out, programs like Tony and Father Danny, I mean, this is great because they do need a place to go, especially if they don't have family members out there to for them to go back to. So, yes, it's been busy. Next year we're going to go to another prison in Florida. We're scheduled to go to Kansas in Oklahoma. And so we're moving out in those areas, and maybe someday we'll be in the state of Ohio, Terry.
Yeah, that'd be great. I laughed when you said Prince Robinson. I was on Prince Robinson shortly after it first opened up. And, well, when I was there, it wasn't a very enjoyable place for sure. So I'm glad that y'all are able to bring the light of Jesus Christ into, you know, such a dark place like prison. Dick and Denny, how are you getting along with in the prisons that you go to? Do you face any people who object, like wardens or people, decision makers who object to the Catholic faith?
In the past we had some pushback, but now we kind of have we've developed trust with the wardens and primarily with the wardens, but some the chaplains as well. They see that there's a value. Basically, the warden sees it as providing a calmer prison population. Men of faith seem to be calmer or less combative than those that don't have that are unchurched. So that's one secular benefit that they see, and so they've been pretty accommodating. Now the problem that always arises, it's not necessarily, you know, that there's anti-Catholicism. It's just that, you know, when you're running a retreat, you're taking up space for 2 or 3 days, and maybe even 4 days. You take up a lot of space that's dedicated to solely your project, your retreat. So they have to make a lot of accommodations behind the scenes for us. But so far, they've been, you know, we bumped heads occasionally, but I think that, and you know,
the proof is in the pudding, right?
Yeah, proof's in the pudding. And the thing is, it's we use the beatitude, the prison beatitude is blessed be the flexible, for they don't get bent out of shape. So if we have to move, like we had to move this retreat coming up, it was scheduled for end of October, but then something came up and we got bumped. So now we're doing it in the first weekend in December. So we just rearrange, make changes in plans and go at it again. The devil's not going to beat us. That's we've got God on our side, and you know, Jesus is our leader. We're gonna keep at it, and you know, just like Jesus, you know, he could have quit on the cross. Or he could have quit before he got to the cross. He went out into the after Last Supper. Went out in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, and he basically argued with God, "Do I really have to do this?" And I think they came to the conclusion that there's no other way to teach how profoundly we love these people than for you to die on this cross and take the punishment. But he could have quit
right,
at that
right.
time.
That's one of the things I like to harp on, especially. When I'm talking to somebody whose perception of Jesus is, you know, of like a weak 1960s long-haired hippie, and I'm like, and I'll tell them this, we're talking about God in the flesh. At any time during the whole situation, he could have just annihilated mankind and started over. You know, he chose to go to the cross for us. We didn't put him on the cross. He chose to do that for us. That's the definition of sacrifice, you know?
Yeah, I think, and like I was getting at is that, you know, he could have left after Last Supper, and by sunrise, he could have been all the way down to Jericho heading north. He could have been down there and then start north and go home. He could have quit. He could have quit. He did. He could have quit. And I think that example of being you know, don't quit regardless of how tough it gets. You know, all we have to do is look to his example. And he showed
Amen.
Us the way.
Amen. Well, what I would like to do, if we can, is just open the floor up. If y'all got any questions for one another or anything, just have at it.
Deacon Denny, I do have a question. I've heard a lot about St. Dismas, and I know we've been into a lot of units that had St. Dismas. And you guys, y'all have perpetual adoration while you're in a unit with these with a St. Dismas retreat?
No, we don't do that. The reason we don't do that is, well, a couple of reasons. One is when we do adoration during the meetings, that's the only thing that's going on. You know, if we're going to expose the Blessed Sacrament, we want just one thing going on that. So that's why we don't. I know I think the Kobe has perpetual during the retreat, but we figured feel that we need to have everybody in the room. We'll do one thing at a time, and that's what we try to focus on. And also the problem of we're thinking about putting it at the end of maybe at the end of Friday night. We start Friday night, and then we're all day Saturday, all day Sunday. But do it at the end of Friday night. You know, have 30 minutes of adoration or exposition of Blessed Sacrament and adoration. But we want to do, you know, I mean, that's worthy of all of our attention and praise and worship. And but we do it at the follow up meetings. Every follow up meeting ends with the adoration.
Did y'all have an inside team from offenders that were on a previous St. Dismas retreat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what we do is we have about 30. We'll have 30 brothers in white that are on our, you know, our waiters and the kitchen staff, and they're basically managing. You know, they're assigned each one or two are assigned to each table, and their job is to make sure they get. And then they're trained with. If someone's given a witness, we're not bringing out coffee and cookies at that time. So
right,
they know
right,
enough.
Right.
Again, that idea
right.
of one thing happens. So,
yeah.
And with a large, these large groups, we have to manage it fairly strictly.
Yeah, that's a big group. We normally always have 11 tables, six at a table, and then the inside, including the stewards, whatever, probably about another 30. So we're running
yeah.
pretty close to 100. But we found that adoration, we fill those slots, volunteers and also the inside team. We find it to be very powerful, especially when you see a lot of the retreatants wanting to go in there and pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. But I thought I'd just bring that up.
Yeah, it's a very powerful encounter when we do it during the monthly meetings are very powerful, and these guys are very serious about it. They're very reverent, and there's
right,
not any
right.
yeah, really, really touches a lot
you know,
of them.
What I find amazing is that I wish some of our parish folks in our churches would be as reverent as some of these inmates are in the prison during Mass. I just find
Amen.
That very...
Well, Father or Bishop, Del Orio, Bishop came out and he came out. And he was going to do confirmation. We had about 20 at the Wynyard that were being confirmed, a big, big group. And he was out there and he heard the choir, you know, singing up the storm. And the he was originally just going to, you know, say the, you know, pray them, celebrate the Mass with just saying it. Well, I mean, by saying it, not singing it. But when he heard them, he said he couldn't be upstage by the choir, so he sang the whole Mass. He sang the whole Mass, and he was really inspired by what he heard.
That's beautiful. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Beautiful thing. Yeah.
I just wish we could get more volunteers to come and join us, and that's the problem we're having. But what I have found that. Once they've come and joined us, they thank us for asking them to come and join us. But it's like, you know, sometimes it's like pulling teeth. Well, I'm not going to do that. You know, but I keep after them until they finally tell me, don't ask me anymore. But,
don't quit.
You know, I mean,
don't quit. Yeah, I think that it's always a struggle to get past the stereotypes and the preconceived, you know, just all the preconceived notions people have from watching TV and all these,
yes,
you know, the prison things. But I think, yeah, like we found the same thing. Once somebody gets in and experiences a weekend, when's the next one? Let's go again. Let's do it again. How can I help more? And that's a powerful thing, because Jesus called us to go visit the sick and the imprisoned. He didn't suggest it. He says, you know, this I command you to do this. So it's one
well,
way
we,
that
we tell them. We tell them you need to check that box, and they kind of give you that funny look, like, yes, that box. I was in prison. He visited me.
Yeah.
And some of them take it seriously. You know, just you know, oh well. But we don't give up. We continue searching and keep.
That's fine.
So
Tony's been
Tony.
Very active too. So
I was gonna share a couple things that I work with Colby House quite a bit also with Tommy and Deacon. But I think the biggest thing we're doing is we're transforming lives through Christ. And what has changed the anti-Catholic feeling in the prisons that I've dealt with, the Walls Unit, Estelle, Ferguson, Carol Vance Unit, is we Catholics always do what we say. When we say we're going to come out, we are there. When we, every week, and if we run into a problem, we pray it out and turn it over to God, and God takes care of it. Part of the problem in the prison system is the lack of knowledge of Catholicism. We are not this where we're going to get up there and beat them with a Bible or anything. We're there to bring the love and hope of and grace of our Lord and Savior. And the thing we have found out is without a strong faith-based connection and church affiliation, it is very difficult for these men coming out of prison to be able to achieve the true freedom in the world. That's why Christian New Creation, Isaiah House, and Colby Ministries, we're on a growth pattern now. When I got here 7.5 years ago, we had 9 men. Today we have 46. And the exact same growth patterns has been happening with Colby. And fundraising and everything else is a big thing now for both organizations to achieve the goals that we need to get to. I've got 400 men on a waiting list to come in. If they get parole, they come to us. So that speaks volumes on what both programs are doing. We're just small Catholic organizations in the state of Texas prison system. There's 122 people in prison in Texas right now, and about 60,000 will be released over the next 12 months. And what we're doing is saving one man at a time. At the Estelle unit, we had a gentleman who was anti-Catholic at a Colby retreat. I mean, I can tell you that he did not want to be there, but his friend said he needed to go. The second day, he told us that he had cancer and he was going to be dying from it. The third day, he was asking if he could go through RCIA and get confirmed. He didn't want to go to hell. The Archdiocese here in Houston, Galveston, Houston, agreed to go ahead and do all of it at one time. A month later, we got him baptized, confirmed, and part of the community. He went down. He's had some surgeries. He's now at RMF, which is what they call the Regional Medical Facility at Estelle up in Huntsville, and he's dying. He can't see. He can't talk now. He's on his last legs. But because of what we do inside, through Colby, through St. Dismas, we are changing men's lives, and we're turning them back over to Christ. They have a place to go home to. That's what we're about.
You know, Tony, you bring up a very valid point, because, as you know, and I know, and Deacon Denny, and probably Terry, you ran into this too. Well, you grew up in a faith, but didn't know your faith. I grew up in my faith, didn't know my faith as a Catholic. And
I didn't grow up in the faith.
Oh, you didn't. You're a convert. Well, that's even better.
Yes,
but
yes,
there are so many Catholics out there that had been baptized, and that's it. They don't know anything about the rosary. And so when we leave there, we fill them with knowledge. We feed them a method of wanting to know more. And so we have a great, all these prisons we go into, we try to establish some type of apologetics course or RCIA. And so a lot of the Protestants, they're the same way, and they absolutely don't have anything, don't know anything about the Catholic faith other than what they were taught by their Protestant parents, and they're all like protesting, like Deacon Danny said, or you said Protestants to protest. And so they leave the retreat saying, I never knew that about the Catholic Church. So that's what we do. That's what we're called to do.
Yeah, and going back to what Tony said about changing, bringing men to Christ, you know, one man at a time. And that in and – okay, so this, here's the deal. You got, you know, I don't know how many converts just in Texas, right, people in prison. And out of those people in prison – for the most part, and there's a few exceptions, but for the most part, one day they're going to get out of prison. And so you either want them to come back into society. I mean, they're either going to come back into society filled with the love of Jesus Christ and wanting to share that love with everybody else, or they're going to come back out exactly the same way they were. Well, the more men that we can bring to Jesus Christ, the better our society is going to be. And I think that's kind of what Deacon was alluding to when he said that the anti-Catholic feeling isn't so strong anymore because they're starting to see that it works. You know, my boss knows that he can trust me beyond a shadow of a doubt because I'm Catholic. You know, he knows I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to cheat on the report. You know, he knows he can trust me because I'm Catholic. And what I would like to see is for more secular employers to start looking for that to be a prerequisite for the job because, you know, Catholics are honest. You know, Catholics are – my boss is God, not the human guy that writes my check. And I was reached in prison. And each person or each man that you reach inside them walls and are able to show the love of Jesus Christ and allow the light of Jesus Christ to you know, open up the heart and do right, then that will make society as a whole – a safer place to live in, you know?
One of the things that I was going to say is, do you know what the greatest apologetics for us is when we go to prison? We return every time. Sure.
Oh,
you know what the greatest apologetics that we have for us as Catholics is we return. No matter during COVID or whatever, we were constantly going back in. I can tell you I've done, this will be the seventh Colby retreat at Estelle. We have had people that were Buddhist, atheists, pagans, Protestants, and they've all started going through the RCIA program. These are people that just went to a Colby retreat, and they found out that these people wanted to come in from these churches, and they've come out and they go to the churches and they're welcomed in. How many times is it when these other ministries go in and they talk about everything and the guys get out and they're not welcome at the church?
That is
the key to our faith. That is the key to our faith, is that we welcome them in. Jesus didn't go to the Pharisees and everywhere else. Where did he go? And that's what we're about.
That's a critical component of Colby House and such, is that we connect. There's guys, every Wednesday we have something called Pete's Prayer and Popcorn. It's a Bible study, and we do it at the house. the house has a, we built a chapel behind it. And in that chapel, we have every Wednesday, we have these Bible studies, and men from St. Maximin Colby come over and participate in that. So we've got four or five guys that come over every Wednesday, and they, I think they come for the pizza. The pizza's pretty good. But anyway,
so when y'all have mass there, people from the church come to the mass also.
Yeah. Every Tuesday we have mass, and the men come over from the free worlders come over, and they participate in the mass as well. Yeah, so we've got and that's the idea of the connectedness, that the community, the guys have to be connected to a parish, and this is one beautiful way of doing it. The people come, they're members of St. Maximin Colby Parish. So.
When a chaplain makes a comment that, there's too many slip of the tongue, and he says, we have too many Catholic volunteers coming in here. It's a little anti-Catholicism going on there, but that is a great testimony to the faith of the Catholic volunteers going in there, and that is so true, going in there time and time again. And those prisons that I cannot go into because it's a three or four hour drive, I will go ahead and write the guys that are at my table. Just to let them know that I'm thinking about them and praying for them and asking them, how their faith journey is going. And here again, there's that connection that you give them a sense of hope that they're not forgotten after we leave doing a retreat. We continue to keep them in our hearts and prayers.
Yeah, that's a beautiful
thing. Having that connection is vital. And kind of having a spiritual advisor. I don't know if Deacon Denny knows it or not, but I just kind of appointed him my spiritual advisor, kind of against his will, maybe.
That's an honor.
Having that brotherhood and having somebody that knows the faith that you can go to when you have a question, that's some of the stuff that is necessary. Let's just be honest. Anybody who's been locked up for a number of years, particularly a younger man, when you get out here, the devil has so many opportunities to draw you away from the faith. But when you've got a band of brothers that is always looking out for you. And when you got somebody that you can confide in and go to and ask for knowledge, then that helps you in the battle, and of course the ultimate goal of this battle is to get to heaven, right?
Right. Amen to that. Yeah, I just want to say something before we conclude here, is that Isaiah House has been really they've been the mentor to the Colby House program. We wouldn't be where we are without them giving us the guidance, because they've been around for a long time, and they know what to do and they know what not to do, and so their wisdom has been shared with us. And I just want to take this time to thank Tony and the folks at Isaiah House that have helped us get up and running, and anytime we need some help, some guidance, something, we give Tony a call, and he says, well, we tried that didn't work, but try this. This really works. So our branch offices for Isaiah House.
Thank you.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm going to say it once again before we conclude, and this is for Deacon Denny, Larry, and now Tony, too, since you're in the group, brother. I know a lot of guys don't like to give a public testimony, but for anybody who's willing, I would like to open the mic up for them, just to share how Jesus Christ changed their life. Open invitation. And, Dick and Denny, can you close us in prayer?
Yeah, sure, we can. Sure, we can do that, sure. Well, let's use that St. Michael prayer. St. Michael was a guy that, you know, he wasn't one of these wimpy archangels or one of these wimpy angels, you know, runs around in diapers and plays the harp. No, he was a mighty warrior, and he went to battle and fought against the devil and drove him out of heaven. And that's
Deacon Timmy.
I think that's what. Yes.
Yeah, just wanted to interrupt for just a second, since it is All Souls Day. Not only end with that prayer, but let's dedicate it to the souls of those who have gone before us in purgatory.
Yes, yeah, those that have died in their journeying, making their final journey to heaven, a place of eternal happiness. So, let's begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who wander through the world for the ruin of souls. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father. And may God bless you all, Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right. Hey, and I'm going to throw that invitation out there one more time. If y'all got some brothers that would like to share the testimony with the world, we need to hear more of men who submitted their will to God.
We can do that.
I'll continue working on that, Terry. Stay with me, and I'll get you some more guys. I know they're out there. I just need to go ahead and stir up a little hornet's nest and get them involved.
All righty.
Shake that tree. Shake that tree.
Yeah. And, Tony, I'll send you a text message. I have your number here, so you'll have my number. If you kind of come across some guys, we could do three or four guys in one night, you know, doing 15, 20 minutes apiece, you know.
We can do that. I've got men that are giving testimonies to churches and stuff, and these men really do want people to know their message and what they've been through,
yes,
and
sir,
where they are now because of God's grace.
Well, yes, sir. That'll work. Well, this might be the first time I ended the show on time, John.
There you go.
Hey, you know, miracles never cease. It's a day for miracles. God bless.
God bless,
John,
everyone.
John, you got any last words?
No, God bless all of you. Thank you for what you do. We're really grateful.
Thank you.
All right. Well, God bless you. All right.
Thank you, God. God bless everybody.
All right. Y'all be blessed. Great. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.